Welcome. So glad you made it to our Good Friday service, and what a special time we're going to have today. Thanks for those of you who were able to come last night too to our communion service. We've been building up to this moment, so it's great to have the church gathered together. Whether you attend this church or you're visiting, well, you're the body of Christ. So we're so glad to have you, so happy that you made it on this most blustery Good Friday. It's wonderful. So let's pray. And we'll enter into a time of praising the Lord in the song. So, Lord, we do thank you so much for giving us a moment like this, dear Jesus, as we contemplate the veracity, Lord, the heaviness of this day, God. And we take a moment to consider what you went through on our behalf, Lord, and on behalf of the sins of the whole world, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you in advance, God, as we prepare our hearts for this time through the singing of songs, the reading of your word, our prayers, our fellowship. In all these ways, Jesus, we want to honor you today because you are worthy of our praise. So God, bless this time. Settle our hearts now, Lord. Let us take a moment to enjoy, to slow down, to breathe, to laugh, Lord, to enjoy the company of the body of Christ here in this little place. So bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you're able to stand for a song or two, I invite you to do that.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretched treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one. Bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. How good and gracious you are, Lord.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the tears stand fast for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to his home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
You can be seated.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. Your grace flows down and covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing love, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. Grace flows down and covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. It covers me. Lord, I thank you for your grace that covers us, Lord Jesus. The only reason we can walk through this life is knowing that your grace and mercy, it chases after us. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you poured out on the cross. I pray, Lord, you would help us today to really consider what a difference that makes in our lives. The joy of our salvation would be ours regardless of circumstance, because our position with you never changes. Thank you for being broken on our behalf, being wounded for our transgressions. And Lord Jesus, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and fill this place. You would prepare each of us for the reading of your word, and that you would convict and encourage and teach each one of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, if you were able to focus through that, I commend you. Heavy. The Bible says that Jesus carried all of our sins, our sorrows, our shame, our sufferings onto the cross on that original Good Friday. And he had the full weight, carried the full weight of all that on his shoulders. As the prophet Isaiah spoke 700 years prior to this day, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And every sin that we ever committed, and that Jesus never committed, was placed upon him as the innocent Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's great for us, but it was agonizing for Jesus. From the going to Jerusalem, when Jesus knew what was before him, and he set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem, to the gathering with his disciples in the upper room. I'm a little stuck here. From his gathering with his disciples in the upper room, where he would take that unleavened bread, again, bearing the marks of all the bruises he took for us, the piercings, and again, he would break it in front of his disciples and say, "This is my body, which is about to be broken for you." It would certainly be crushed, and he would take the juice, and of course, he would say, "This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for many." And he would tell them to do it in remembrance of him. And as he was doing that, I believe that Jesus was probably agonizing over the moment as he elevated the Passover to a whole new height. And no longer would they think of Moses in the days of the Exodus, but they would think of Jesus. So from the, again, the going to Jerusalem, the gathering with his disciples, and then to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would pray, "Father, if there's any way, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done." And then, of course, it culminates at Golgotha. So from the going to the gathering to the garden to Golgotha. And I want to pick up our time here. I want to use the text from Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 32. And we're going to read about this moment following the Last Supper, the final Passover that Jesus had with his disciples, where Jesus and the disciples walked to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where this begins. Verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed, even to the point of death, saying, "My soul is troubled. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Simon Peter, "Peter, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour with me? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to answer him. Then he came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, the betrayer is at hand." And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out against me with swords and clubs as a robber? I was daily with you in the temple watching and teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then they all forsook him and fled. Going on to verse 55 or 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Going on to verse 61. Finally, the high priest asked Jesus, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him, to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. So Jesus goes through a series of six illegal trials, covert trials over the course of the late night and the early morning hours. And as the religious leaders completely disregard their standards and their statutes, they condemn Jesus to death unlawfully. They deliver him to Pontius Pilate, the Roman ruler in Judea. We pick it up in Mark chapter 15, verse 6. Now at the feast of Passover, Pilate was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered and said to them, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that they should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with you or with him whom you call the king of the Jews? So they cried out, crucify him. Then Pilate said to them, what evil has he done? And they cried out all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. And again, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John, all the Gospels don't describe much in detail this scourging. But as you might well know, it was a leather whip with kind of nine strands, thongs going in all directions, and every thong, every strand had glass and rock in it, of course, that when the whip was brought across the prisoner's back and it was ripped, it would take flesh with it. And of course, it would be 39 times, because 39 was the number of mercy. And as the prisoner would be bearing his back on the pole, of course, if he were to cry out a crime he had committed, then the next lash would be lighter and lighter, till finally by the last one, it would be just laying it on his back and not even doing anything with it. But as we know, Jesus had no sin to confess. He had no sin, so he took the full brunt of all 39 lashes and even the 40th. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, verse 16 and 17, Mark chapter 15. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to be crucified. And it was on the cross, of course, that Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world, the Apostle John says. Jesus became our substitute, and he assumed our obligation, our guilt. He covered it by the chastisement, the punishment, which he endured that was due to us. As I have shared before, propitiation is where we get our word property. And you could say, as you recall the skit, that our sins became Jesus' property on the cross. Interesting that during the Blue Origin flight on Monday, each woman that was in the capsule, the new shepherd, took what was called a zero-G indicator. Maybe you saw this. It was an object they would bring with them that if they were to let it go, it would signal that they are in space as it would begin to float, as they were in this place of zero gravity or microgravity. As they were carried up to that place 66 miles above the Earth. Katy Perry took a daisy, and she said that the daisy represented the most resilient, powerful, strong flower that can grow anywhere. And her daughter's name was also Daisy. Aisha Beau took a Bahamas patch because that is her ethnicity, her ethnic background. Amanda Nguyen took along a hospital wristband, perhaps the heaviest object. She saved it from when she was admitted to the hospital following a sexual assault, a rape in 2013. And it was a way, she said, to honor her past self. And in a similar way, you might say that today's skit objects are S indicators. As Jesus carries up, takes upon himself, again, all the sin, sorrow, shame, selfishness that we could possibly put upon him. And whether that was through addictions or anger, sex trafficking, traumatic sadness, the death of a baby, ignorance, violence, the Bible tells us that he carried all of these, the weight of all these things on that Good Friday as he went to the cross for the sins of the whole world. And the purpose, of course, of the crucifixion was for our cleansing, our healing. As the Apostle Paul wrote, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And again, as you saw in the skit, Braden took it all upon himself, everything that there was, he took it. And he did it, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And that joy, I believe part of that joy, aside from being reunited with the Father in heaven in his glory, was also the thought of us entering heaven by faith in Jesus. Jesus owned our sins on the cross so that we would be debt-free, without condemnation, without guilt, without fear of the unknown. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So how do we put our sins upon Jesus? How do we do it? How do we take this symbolic skit and actually play it out? Well, I've shared it before. It's very simple. A person simply admits their need for Jesus. Then they believe on Jesus or in Jesus, that he indeed was who he said he was, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And they have that moment of believing on him, turning away from their self-reliance and turning to Jesus. And then confessing, verbally speaking out, that Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I am so sorry. And it's a prayer of desperation. It's a prayer of salvation that enables me to exchange my sin for his grace that he poured out. And those are the ABCs of salvation. Admitting, believing, confessing. So simple. Free. But it costs Jesus everything in our weak depiction of what Jesus did for us. And if we do that, then it's going to be a very, very, very good Friday for all of us. I know many of you have already done that. And if you haven't, I want to give you an opportunity right now as we close in prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you for this short time to gather, Lord. And Jesus, we're so glad that you use the written word, God, the spoken word. Lord, you use skits and songs and sharing a meal. Lord, you use all these things to draw people to yourself. And today you've done that, God. And Lord, I do ask that if there's anybody here or listening perhaps, Lord, on a live stream, that Jesus, you might speak to them now. You might knock at the door of their heart and that person might admit that, yes, I do need Jesus. I do. And that person might open the door of their heart and believe on you, Jesus. And then they might take the final step and confess it and say a prayer like this: Jesus, I have run from you. I have rejected you. I have rebelled against you. I've even ridiculed you, Lord. Maybe I didn't throw tomatoes at you, but I certainly mocked you. But now, Lord, I want to receive you. I want to rely upon you, Jesus. And so I do a 180 right now. I repent. I turn away from everything I've relied upon until this moment. And now I put my faith in you, Jesus, my trust, my belief, my will. I surrender to you. I ask you would forgive me, Jesus, of every sin I ever committed and every sin I will commit, Lord. And I thank you in advance, Lord, that you say that now I'm born again, that my sins are away from me, Lord. You carry them to the cross, never to be returned. Lord, it's a no return policy. And I'm so glad for that, Jesus. You don't undo what you did. So, Lord, I thank you for anybody today who might have cried that prayer out. I thank you that you gave many of us a moment at one time in our lives to cry out to you, Jesus. And Lord, you answered us and you confirmed it in our hearts that indeed what you said was true, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. And all this is through Christ who reconciled us to himself, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for this time, Jesus, speaking to us. And we ask your blessing upon the remainder of our service now, Lord. The food we're going to eat, the song we're going to sing, the people we're going to meet maybe for the first time today. And Lord, we welcome anybody into the body of Christ, Lord, that cried out today. And we're so glad. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cross I look, to the cross I cling, of a suffering I do dream, of its work I do see, is only my Savior. Both bruised and crushed, show that God is love, and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I'm lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. What a priceless gift and undeserving life have I been given through Christ crucified. You called me out of death. You called me into life. I was under your wrath, and through the cross I'm reconciled. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I'm lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
of the cross I must confess. How wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I'm lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
So, Lord, we thank you so much, dear God, once again, Lord, for this time like this, such a short time, Lord. But, Lord, you have encouraged us, Lord Jesus, to consider the, again, the magnitude of your sacrifice once and for all for the sins of the world, Lord. And I am praying, Lord, if anybody has made that commitment today, again, they would let us know, Lord. They would just tell somebody, Lord, this was the day they said their ABCs, Lord. They did it. And, Jesus, you met them right there. So, Lord, once again, we thank you for times like this. We ask you to bless the food we're about to eat, Lord Jesus, the fellowship we're about to have. Just lengthen it, Lord. And Lord, I do pray too that you would touch those in our fellowship that are struggling, Lord, and hurting, Lord, with sorrows and pains, Lord, and sufferings. God, please, would you put your hand upon them, Lord, comfort them, heal them, Lord Jesus, do a mighty work. Lord, we know that, again, as you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, Lord, we would just love a piece of that now. Even before we get to heaven, Lord, would you give us some healing, Lord? And so, God, bless this time, Lord. Again, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, I want to thank you for coming and joining us. I also want to let you know we're going to be doing this same skit at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Miner's Diner, on the side of the Miner's Diner in town. And I think that the Lord would draw people. And I would say, let's pray now that somebody might stop for a moment and consider Jesus like they've never considered him before, maybe. So I want to thank those of you who joined in the skit. Thank you so much for giving your very best. And give us a moment. We're going to be just pulling back the curtain there. And we've got plenty of good stuff to eat. So please don't rush off. Stick around and enjoy the food. We have a sunrise service at 6 o'clock in the morning at Camp Julian Oaks that's going on if you don't have a home church. We've got a 10 o'clock service here, of course, too. And it's just great to be in the body of Christ. What a great day for us. So God bless you. Thanks for coming.